we'll ask them, well, where did you get that? Well, it's in the Bible. That's what my preacher used to teach. And I went to this church for a long, long time, and he was a great man of God. I said, okay, all right, maybe he's a great man of God, but just show me in the Bible, because you're betting your life that you're right here.
Yes.
Well, I don't know where it is, Darren, but okay. Next week when I see you, why don't you find that?
That's right. And it's
and
really
many
easy
times
to...
they come and they say, you know, I can't find that. And I said, well, you know something, maybe it's not in there. Now, if it's not in there, you can't go betting your whole life on the fact that it's in there.
That's
I mean, you really got to know for yourself, because one day when we stand before the Lord, we're not going to have a preacher stand there with us. We can't blame them. Well, you can't blame Darren and Barbara. You can't blame Billy Graham, or you can't blame somebody else. You're going to be standing there on your own.
Well,
and
for instance,
I tell you, I just get to know the Word.
That's right. For instance, in Matthew 15, where Jesus is really confronting them, and as I said before, there are 17 times which they confront him and test him. But here in Matthew 15, he is really bringing into light tradition of men. And he's saying, why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? Now, he's going to go right into the Ten Commandments. Jesus is going to meet him head on. He says, you know, you say, and God says, to honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. But you take your money, which you should be helping your mother and father in their later years, and you're saying, well, what was yours, I have given to God. He says, God does not, you know, it's almost like God spits on their giving, because God wanted them to make allowance for their parents and to provide for their parents a little bit. But here they said, you know, mom and dad, I love you, but what was yours, I've given to God. And they act like they're such holy men when they have transgressed the very heart of God concerning their parents.
Well, I would use the word sanctimonious. We're acting like we're so holy and so spiritual, and we're dumping on those that are close to us. And that was not only a spiritual thing, but it was a cultural thing in that day, because they didn't have Social Security.
No, they
didn't.
So
mom and dad depended on their children in their later years. Well, now here they're saying, well, you know, go to the church, because basically I gave all the money to the church. Now it goes on to say in verse 7 of Matthew 15, you hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Mm-hmm. That's the core of this teaching. They're teaching as doctrines, as biblical doctrine.
That's right.
They're saying, now, folks, this is Bible, you know, and I've seen them thump their Bibles. This is Bible. Well, now, wait a minute. Is it Bible or is it some man's idea? For example, we have some friends who were raised in a very, very strict type of church. They left that church, and this church teaches their church is the only church. Well, then the parents of these adult children, by the way, that we know, believe that their children are lost, and the only way they're going to get to heaven is come back to the church, which happens to be theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they also practice another thing, which is a tradition of men that I find very interesting to look at from the outside. When they have family get-togethers, they
have
a...
And these people that have left their church, they're kind of shunned, right?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm getting at. They're shunned. And they go home to have a, you know, a family celebration or whatever. They cannot eat at the same table with the people that stayed in the church. So it's called shunning.
Now they can come to the house.
Right.
And they can talk with everybody there. But they can't actually physically...
And they can bring food and they can help prepare the food.
Okay.
But their table can't touch the other people's table. Now... it's a real struggle for the parents also that are trapped in this tradition, because they love their kids. And the kids really take this as a great insult, and I know there's been some real family fights over this issue, and I'm pointing this out because it's kind of an obvious thing. They say, well, we can put the tablecloth over both tables, kind of make it look like one table, but your table can't touch our table. Well, I know some of you are listening to this message is saying, what? I've never heard of such a thing. Well, let me tell you, folks, crazy things like that go on, and some things that are just as crazy, you know, maybe it's not this issue, but it's called shunning. We're going to shun you because you're no longer one of us.
That's right. You don't believe exactly the way we believe.
And you don't
And their
practice.
Belief doesn't come out of the Word of God.
Right.
It comes from the precepts of man.
Now, those are traditions, Barbara, that are handed down by some preacher that, you know, and you ask them, where did you get that? Well, then they take a scripture, oh, come ye out and be ye separate from the world. Wait a minute. What does that mean? Here we're talking about issues of the heart, is what the Bible's talking about.
Well, and right here.
And not issues of, say some ceremonial practice of what table you eat at.
That's right. And right here, Jesus is confronting it. He says, hear and understand. And he says, when you worship me in this kind of light, it's worthless. He said, like you read in verse 9, in vain they worship me. That means if they worship me, and it's a worthless worship. What they're doing is absolutely worthless to me. He says, hear and understand. And in verse 11, he says, not what enters into the mouth defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man. And what you were saying about the heart, their heart issues, this is what's important to Jesus, what is inside of a man. And he says also in verse 17, do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and it's eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and these defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts and murders and adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are lies, Darren. And we're finding that in the church, lies that are built upon precepts of men.
Well, then you go on the next verse there in verse 20. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. Now, Jesus was talking there about the Pharisees that were watching to see if they went through all the ceremony cleansing mm-hmm. before they ate.
Yes.
Well, did you go through all the steps and do all this kind of stuff? Well, now, of course, we believe in good hygiene. You ought to wash your hands before you go eat. But that's from a different perspective. That's from a health perspective, not from some religious rule that says, did you go through the ceremony of cleansing before you washed your hands and all this kind of stuff? And Jesus is really saying these things, and Barbara, I've seen hatred in the church toward people that didn't keep up with the traditions of men. I've seen rejection. I've seen shunning. And pretty soon those people are ferreted out. They're pushed out the edge. And pretty soon, indeed, they stop going, because rejection is just too great.
Mm-hmm.
There's
That's
not acceptance.
Right.
There's not the love of God there. There's rejection there to that person that says, I just think that's a stupid rule. Why do we have to do that?
Well, and one of the very next instance, a Syrophoenician or a Canaanite woman comes to Jesus about her daughter who is vexed by this evil spirit. And at first, Jesus doesn't talk with her, and she continues to hound him, so to speak. She comes again and again and again asking him. And eventually, he says, O woman, your faith is great. Be it done to you as you wish. And he healed the daughter of this foreign woman. Now, some church congregations won't take foreigners. I mean, they look down upon foreigners. Other church congregations, if you're divorced, you might as well have a big D on your head and be a criminal of sorts, because the rejection is going to be great in some congregations.
Well, you mentioned the divorce. It's like they've lost their soul. They've lost their identity. They've lost everything. And, of course, you don't want a person around like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you work diligently to keep them out of your midst, because they might contaminate what you've got going here.
That's right.
Because they have violated some of those traditions of the way you think over here. Instead of going with saying, well, I believe that person made a mistake, they may have sinned, I'm going to forgive them, God forgives them, I'm going to accept them.
Yes.
They're okay. They can come into my house. They can eat with me. They can come to my church. They can worship with me. They can pray with me. I can minister to them. They can receive the ministry of the church without feeling like they're and being treated like they're a second-class citizen.
That's right.
We've got to stop being hypocrites, folks.
Well, and Jesus himself actually faced this almost every day, Darren. And they were saying, you know, where did this man get this wisdom? And he says, isn't this the carpenter's son? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Isn't this the son of Mary and his brothers James and Joseph? They were putting this man down, this man Jesus, the Son of God. And they took offense at him, it says in Matthew 13:57. Then Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. And he could not do many miracles in his hometown, Darren, because of unbelief. The people just did not believe that God sent his wonderful son to die and give his life. They did not believe the Old Testament prophecies were truly coming true through Jesus Christ.
Now, I believe that some of those people that harassed Jesus kept others from coming to the kingdom of God. In fact, he said to the Pharisees at one point, you're keeping people out of the kingdom. All right, we have people that have kept other people out because of traditions, because of some I'm going to say goofy law or goofy practice or some tradition, they've kept them out of